Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. I was speaking over the weekend at the Sunday reading so much on our need to get beyond ourselves, to see the needs of others, even while we're experiencing our own needs. God wants to call us to reach out to the needs of others, and sometimes in the process of caring for others, our own needs are alleviated. The Lord is asking us through these readings last week and continuing this week, the Lord is really asking us to understand the two great commandments, to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the second, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, those are the two great commandments. On them we will be judged. What are you doing? Were you convicted by anything over the weekend listening to the Sunday readings? What are you doing about it? Don't just, oh my goodness, that inspired me, oh this is good, or this program is good, or whatever. That's not what's important. What's important is what you do with what you hear. Don't try to take on a whole lot of things. Don't do that. Just ask God, to whom do you want me to reach out? Who do you want me to pay attention to this day? It might be on a bus. It might be on a street. It might be in our own home. It might be at our place of work. If you know you are loved by God, then he tells us, love one another as I have loved you. Doesn't mean you have to gush over people. It doesn't mean you have to lay down everything. Oh, I just want to serve you. And you would overwhelm people. Don't do that. Just a simple interest. If you work there with them a couple times a week, just saying, good morning, how are you today? To people that perhaps you ignore. You just don't even see because you're so busy. Just take time. Doesn't take long. And God will reveal himself through you to others. What greater privilege could there be? The first reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 12 to 17. Brothers and sisters, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. That is, if our concern is just for me, myself, and I. If that's what our concern is, then we die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, that is your own selfishness, putting you first in every situation, doesn't mean that there might not be a time or two when you should put yourself first. But the majority of time you should be putting others first, are you? If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, sons and daughters of God. That's not just a title. That's a reality. The Father watches over you carefully. The Father will provide for you, son and daughter of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption through which we cry, Abba, Father. Those of you who have listened to this program a lot know Abba is a very intimate term. It's a call of a child. Abba, Daddy, Papa, Abba. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Wow. Now here it comes. If only we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. To suffer with him doesn't mean that you have to have terrible illnesses, though sometimes God asks that of us. But suffering is also being willing to put ourselves in at least second place several times a day. To look out for the needs of another, to take a moment to express concern for another or interest in another, It doesn't take much. I remember when I was much younger and for a while I had to travel on a particular bus every day. And I always said hello to the bus driver when I got on, and I always thanked him when I got off. It's just what I do. And he stopped me one day and he said, "Thank you. Thank you. You treat me like a human being. Thank you." So little, brothers and sisters, but it can make a world of good in the heart of someone else who may be carrying a far heavier burden than we are. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if only we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him. Come on. Let's suffer for the Lord. We're all going to suffer. We all suffer in life. There are things that don't go our way. There are very hard things that happen. But brothers and sisters, if we suffer with Him, Lord, I unite my suffering with yours for the salvation of the world. It's that simple in words. It can be that simple. And then offer it. If we do, if we serve those in need around us, if we unite our suffering with the suffering of Christ, then we will be glorified with Him. Paul tells us that clearly in Romans. It's truth. Psalm 68, our God is the God of salvation. He's the Father of orphans, the Defender of widows, is God in His holy dwelling. God gives a home to the forsaken. He leads forth prisoners to prosperity. This is true, but who does He use to accomplish His purpose? It's you and me. Are you available? Sometimes God does it directly, of course, in the heart of someone. Absolutely. But many times He chooses to use us. Are you available? Blessed day by day be the Lord who bears our burdens, God who is our salvation. God is a saving God for us. The Lord, my Lord, controls the passageways of death. In other words, I can trust Him. He's the God of salvation. He wants to save me. I'm not going to die eternally. I'm going to live forever with Him. And with as many other people as I can possibly help to bring into the kingdom. That's the spirit. That's the attitude that God wants from us. And He will give us the power. Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. Jesus was teaching in a synagogue on the Sabbath, and a woman was there who for 18 years had been crippled by a spirit. She was bent over, completely incapable of standing erect. And we've seen people like that, haven't we? Bending from the waist or even from the hips. They can barely see you. They have to turn their head to one side and try to look up. How difficult that must be. And this woman, when Jesus saw her, He called to her. And He said, "Woman, you are set free of your infirmities." Now, when Jesus saw her, He called her. He called her. He initiated. She might not have had hope. He laid His hands on her, and she at once stood up straight and glorified God. What a marvelous thing that would be. Would you be delighting? Or would you be saying, "Why not me? What about me?" See, we can be so selfish when it comes to the good of another. And yet, this woman, I love it. This woman stood up once and glorified God. She stood up at once and glorified God. She didn't gush all around with other people. She glorified God for what He had done. That's the first step. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant that Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, there's supposed to be no work on the Sabbath. My goodness, mercy and love and care for another trumps everything, brothers and sisters. But they were so, the Pharisees were so legalistic. And so the leader of the synagogue gets furious and he says, there are 6 days when work should be done. Come on those days to be cured, not on the Sabbath day. See, he isn't concerned for the person. He's concerned about the letter of the law. And the letter, Jesus tells us, the letter kills. The spirit of the law. What's the reason that law was established? Why is that rule there? Why is it good for me to obey it? That's the position we need to take. And so this Pharisee is just terribly upset. Come on those days to be cured, not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord said to him in reply, I would not want God to say this to me. You hypocrite. Hypocrites. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his ass from the manger and lead it out for watering? Necessary work. That's what he's talking about. Don't you do this? This daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 years now, ought she not to have been set free on the Sabbath day from this bondage? Doesn't this trump everything? When he said this, all his adversaries were humiliated. Of course they were. They could have said, and this is the hardest thing to come out of our mouths, they could have said, Lord, you're right and I'm wrong. Will you please forgive me? Some of the hardest words to say, but if you say them, you're really set free. I'm sorry. It's my fault. Please forgive me. Some of the hardest words to get out of our mouths, but if we do them, we're set free. The whole crowd rejoiced at all the splendid deeds done by him. But his adversaries were humiliated. And what did they do? As I said, instead of turning to repentance, what did they do? They decided to destroy him. And how many times are we at least partially responsible when we criticize and condemn or mock or ridicule another? What are we doing? It's another expression of what the Pharisees went through. We mock, we ridicule. It's different than what the Pharisees did, but it has the same effect. It destroys. And it separates you from God. Brothers and sisters, we really need to look at this area in our lives. And scriptures Sunday and Monday are giving us so much food for thought. And I want you to think about how those readings, Sunday's and today's, how do they apply in my life? What do I need to pay attention to? And don't write down 20 rules. Just choose one. Start with one. What's one thing in my life I need to change? So that I'm not a Pharisee. Don't want to be a Pharisee. I don't want to be legalistic. Do I need to repent of that? And do I need to become more generous and look beyond myself to the needs of others? Take that seriously, and may God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.